Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Okay, wait a minute. Did Jesus just say what I thought he said? Let's listen again. Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. Yep, he said it. And in reply, we said, "The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ." Really? How is this the gospel? Both in Jesus' day and in our own, it is never a compliment to call a woman a dog, especially a female dog. So what's going on here? Did we catch Jesus with his divinity down? Was he having a bad day? Did he not know his mic was still on? Why did he say this? Well, there are three main reasons that people have given for this. The first one said that he used the word for puppies. And puppies aren't offensive. They're cute and cuddly and sweet. I'm sorry. Jesus did not call this woman cute and cuddly and sweet. He did not give her a compliment here. He's insulting her. It's a slur. It's a jab. It's a punch in the face. We can't get around that, even when it comes out of the mouth of Jesus. So we have to admit that he said it. So the second approach thinks, well, yes, he said it, and yes, it's an insult, but any Jew at the time would have said it. That's just what they thought of the Gentiles. Jesus was a product of his culture. Okay, yes, Jesus lived in a certain place in a certain time, but he was also known for breaking boundaries and crossing lines. Right, he hung out with tax collectors and sinners and prostitutes, for crying out loud. If that's how he operated, then why would he suddenly draw a line in the sand with this woman? Right, that just seems weird. Some people who emphasize this interpretation, though, like to say that this outsider woman taught him something about God's love. And if you emphasize his humanity, then sure, he had to learn things, but he is still God, too. Does he really need to learn who his own love is for? I don't think so. So the third interpretation says, yes, Jesus said the line, and yes, he didn't need to be taught anything, so he didn't really mean it. He was just playing devil's advocate here. But that's a little ironic to say that God incarnate was playing devil's advocate. But whatever. Interpreters who go this route say he was just testing the woman. But there's a problem. Because I can't think of any other time when Jesus tested someone before he helped them. Like, he never said, okay, you're a leper and you want to be healed, well, give me a good reason why I should stoop down and help you. Right? No. That's not how Jesus works. Because that's not how grace works. Like, if any of us had to give a good reason why Jesus should help us, we'd all be in sorry shape. None of us deserve God's grace. That's why it's grace. Right? It's a free gift. So Jesus isn't complimenting this woman by calling her a cute puppy. He's not conditioned by his culture because he is still God in the flesh. And he wasn't testing this woman because that's not really grace. So then what? Why did he say this? Honestly, I don't know. Because none of those interpretations work. So then what do we do with this? Well, even if we're not sure why he said it, another way to approach this text is to think about how other people would have heard it. In order to do that, though, we need to pair it with the other line he said. After this woman says her bit about how even the dogs get the crumbs, Jesus said, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." Oh, we like that one, even though the first one rubs us the wrong way. But in Jesus' day, his disciples would have liked the first one, but not the second one. Because whether or not Jesus was a product of his culture, his disciples certainly were. So when they heard this jab against the woman, they would have cheered him on. That's because at the time, you were either Jewish or Gentile. And Gentile simply meant not Jewish. Right? So it was a clear either or. You're either one side or the other. There's no middle ground here. And sometimes today we think that way too. Right? You're either part of my group or you're not. Like, I bet you can think of a modern day example where people are either this or that. You're on side A or side B, and there's no middle ground. And because of that, side A and side B often argue with each other. They say mean things about each other, in person and online. Sometimes they even fight each other. So even though part of us kind of balks at what Jesus is saying to this woman, secretly there's a part of us that actually enjoys it. Because here's Jesus who's acting more like us. And if he treats people this way, then maybe we can treat people this way too. But then, of course, we get the line, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." And although we say we like that line, because we know we're supposed to say God loves everyone, maybe inside we react a bit like the disciples would have. Right? They would have been shocked that Jesus said this to her. I mean, how could Jesus show love to that woman? Doesn't he know who she is and where she's from? He just called her a dog, right? He should stick with that. So although in our heads we're okay with Jesus crossing boundaries, we don't like it when he crosses the boundaries that we've set up. Here's an example. Imagine the side B to your side A. Think of a specific person from that group. Maybe it's the leader of the group. Maybe it's a spokesperson. Maybe it's the poster child. Maybe it's somebody from that group who has a loud voice. Maybe it's someone you know who's a part of that group. Whoever it is, just picture them in your mind. Now imagine them standing before Jesus. And imagine Jesus giving them a big hug. It sounds a little weird, doesn't it? Yes, we know they're God's children, and we know Jesus died for them too, but come on. It doesn't feel right, does it? How could Jesus love them after what they've said and done? How could he forgive them? Doesn't he see all the bad decisions they've made? This is how the disciples would have reacted to what Jesus said to that woman. And sometimes we're right there with them. But now, think about how the woman would have responded. Here she is, desperately needing help. And she knows that she's not worthy of God's grace. And so she said, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Notice that she doesn't argue the claim that she's not worthy. She doesn't defend herself against being called a dog. She just demands to be given scraps. I mean, we just spent 5 weeks hearing about how Jesus is the bread of life who gives himself for all people. And yet he can't even spare some crumbs for this woman? What's up with that? Yes, that bread of life discourse was from John and this passage is from Mark, but still. This woman will not take no for an answer. She holds on to the promises of God. Right, think of it like this. When the Israelites received that manna in the wilderness, or when Jesus came down to us, it was very much like us dogs receiving breadcrumbs that fall from the divine table. None of us deserve to be given the gifts that God has given to us. We haven't earned it. Instead, we are just broken people who think only of ourselves. We judge others. We point fingers. We draw lines. And we say that everybody on side B is worse than the people on our side A. And yet, even we still get crumbs falling to us from heaven. This woman is admitting that she does not deserve help. But if undeserving dogs can get crumbs from the table, then undeserving people like her can get something too. When she says this line, she's holding on to the promises of God. And I can't remember who said this, but somebody once called this rubbing God's promises in God's ears. Basically, it's reminding God to be faithful to the promises God has made. It's like the child who tells the parent, "But you promised! You said you would!" Unlike human parents who sometimes break their promises, God never does. Like this woman, we hold on to the promises that God provides for us because God is always faithful. So imagine how she felt when she heard that line. "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." She would have been thrilled. God's grace is indeed for her too. So now think of a time when you were like this woman, when you desperately needed help. You thought all hope was lost. You felt completely alone. You felt like others were making your life extra hard. Maybe you were worried or scared or stressed out beyond belief. And so in your desperation, you cried out to God. And maybe God didn't answer when or how you wanted, but you held on to that promise. You trusted that God would take care of you and see you through. And you know what? That's exactly what God did. That's exactly what God does. God brought you, broken person as you are, to new life. And that's amazing. You didn't earn it or deserve it or do anything to get it. Instead, God just gave you new life. Like bread falling from heaven. That's grace. So now think again about that person from side B you thought of earlier. The one I asked you to imagine Jesus hugging. Now imagine that person is you. imagine Jesus hugging you. If God's grace is for everyone, then that means everyone, both the person you pictured earlier and you. Whether or not this woman taught Jesus anything is unclear, but what is clear is that she taught the disciples something, and she teaches us something. She reminded them that Jesus is for her too. And she reminds you that Jesus is for you as well. Yes, sometimes today we do draw lines between ourselves and others. But Jesus shows us that God's grace is stronger than the boundaries that we make. Not only does he intentionally cross those boundaries to get to us, he also calls us to cross the boundaries to get to others. He calls us to rethink how we treat people, especially those who are on side B. So that means, yes, this passage may make us wonder, why is Jesus being a jerk here? But maybe the better question is, why are we being jerks to others? So I don't know why Jesus said this line in this one. But I do know that as people who have been shown God's grace, we don't need to treat others like that. Instead, we welcome them into the grace of God. A grace that is given to all of us. Side A, side B, and so many more. Because none of us deserve the love that God gives us. All of us are fed at God's table. That's why it's amazing grace. And that's why this is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. In the name of the one who comes to us and gives us undeserved grace, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.